What is going on, everybody? Thank you so much for joining us. So it's probably not as many of you as who had RSVP'd because, well, we're on a new link, so I'm gonna go share that. And we're starting about 20 minutes later due to tech issues, but we will definitely get this party started. I have with me, because with me for Lanes of Communications, communication specialist Melissa Ambers. Melissa, why don't you tell the people a bit about yourself while I go share us out in a couple other places?
Okay. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining in. And, like Michelle said, you know how it goes with tech issues. It happens. But we are glad that you are able to jump on and chat with us and listen to us go, have a little communication. So if you wasn't on last week, I am Melissa Ambers with Strategic Blueprint Consulting, and we help organizations with their employer branding and their EVP, which is their employer value proposition. And part of that is communication. So that's why, we talk a lot about communication, and there are so many different lanes and twists and turns within that. So many times we hear, we're open for communication. Come in at any time. Feel free to share. We want all feedback. And it's almost like, you checked the box because you said what you were supposed to say. But the reality is you really don't mean what you say. And a lot of times there's, retaliation, various forms where you could be fired or you're treated differently. Or you're demoted, or sometimes it actually affects some people's paychecks where they won't get raises because they simply, shared something. So there are so many different ways that it happens and that communication has become harmful, which is really unfortunate that this is an issue with organizations and companies. That, as an employee, you have to worry about going in, keeping your mouth shut, not sharing ideas, not wanting to say certain things. And we've also been taught document, document, document. So instead of us saying something or going to talk about something to see, can we come up with a resolution? Or maybe it was something that either party could have misunderstood and it's clearing the air. The first thing we do is we get those tablets and those pens and we start jotting down, we start writing down all of these things that happens with the date and time. If it's, sometime it gets that serious where you have to write the date and time, we start documenting all of these things. And then on top of that, with our cell phones, we may record on the sly, so that way when someone come in and they say, oh, well, I didn't say that, or it wasn't me, you have the recording to say, okay, hey, this was your voice. You did say this, or this particular situation did happen. And we don't have the opportunity to have those conversations. So that's why we, are hitting on the lanes of communication and putting this information out there so we can talk about it. Consider this your communication chat room. What do you have to say? What are some of the things that you're having problems with, or that you try to communicate with a leader or someone in management and it didn't go over so well, or they did not give you the right answer, or you really feel that they are retaliating against you? And like I say, it's different lanes of the retaliation. So whatever form that is, they're retaliating against you. So we want to, hit on some of those things and understand how you as an employee can, approach the situation, but not approach the situation in full armor and ready for battle. Because when we go like that, not only of our body language, but the energy that we give off is that battle energy, and that we're ready to get in battle and we're ready to, duke it out. But disarm yourself, You know, if you have to take a moment, walk away, take a walk around the floor, build and go to the restroom, whatever it is, de-armor yourself and then go in, and that energy is going to come across differently. Then that way, maybe the communication will go differently. So that is a start. I'm not saying that that's the complete solution, but that is a start to try to figure out how we can figure this thing out. Let's talk about it. If it's a misunderstanding, let's fix it. Let's clear the air, whatever it is. So just making sure that you're going in with the energy of peace and that you're here to truly talk and not battle. So that is my just on, you know, communication. And we're just going to get into it and talk about a few things. So strap in.
Yes. So thank you for dropping all of that knowledge and really talking about how communication, people prepare like documentation. And we're not saying don't document.
Right.
What we're saying is try different lanes of communication with people in your organization to get to try open dialogue. The problem I would say with some people is, number one, whatever you say, they're going to take it as an attack on them. So how do you navigate those issues? Other times, they are attacking you in response. And so you're trying to figure out then what is the best or better approach to communicating certain things with people. And right. I think it's really important that we aren't saying, oh, just don't do it, but really we understanding the culture of the organization, understanding the person you're dealing with, what is their history of, you know, working with others or communicating with others in your organization, also take that into account. So definitely look at that.
Yeah. So we're going to jump right into the conversation. So we, you know, as Michelle and I talked, we, you know, jotted down some notes, and we had this one incident that was in the news, and I want to, it was probably middle of last week or the week before, but it was in the news, and we talked about the new management style at Twitter, and the same person was in the news again. Elon Musk, he had an assistant. And the assistant just simply went to him and asked for a raise. You know, of course, we don't know all the details in that conversation, but, you know, I'm sure she went, you know, I've been here for, you know, X number of years, and I'm sure she shared her value and different things like that. And not only that, he saw the value because he kept her as his assistant for all of these years. And if I'm not mistaken, I know she's been there over 10 or 15 years. So it's been some time that she was there. And because she asked for a raise, he told her, take off of work. Let me see if you're valuable or not. I mean, I've heard of a lot of things happening, but that was like, damn. You know, so what are your thoughts on that, Michelle?
Well, I think a lot of things. First of all, understanding, this is why people don't document sometimes their process and procedures because incidents like this happen. Mm-hmm. And what I would have said was, hey, and this happens more, I would say, to women than it does to men. You have to prove your worth. You have to have proof. And so understanding who that manager is that you're approaching, what they often look for to validate something is sometimes that proof. And it's down deep. It's not necessarily a Twitter thing. So, Casey. And so to me, it really focuses on understanding who you're communicating with as far as personality, how do they take in information, and really doing your due diligence and homework, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So the way I communicate, I'm an ambivert. So I don't mind being on the internet. I have not minded being inside for the last 3.5 years, almost 4. I have not minded that for the most part. Some people I need to get out, and some people do better communicating one-on-one. I do better communicating, I think, with people in person, and then on a Zoom, and then last via email. Like email is like the last thing you want me to communicate to you via. And Melissa can probably be a testament to that. She's like, did you get my email? Like, oh yeah, I did see that. And so it's just understanding what is the best method to communicate with your team. And so my product manager no longer Slacks me. She just texts me. Like she just sends me videos, whatever she needs, she just texts me. If she knows she really wants me to look at it, then she'll do an email. And so really understanding who you're speaking to, even if it isn't they're in leadership, or if it's somebody that is an individual contributor or a customer, understanding their communication style is really, really important as well.
I think that's a great point that you put out of knowing who you're speaking with. And because of the term that she's been there, she's, seen a lot of things and been around him a lot to have that kind of tenure with him. And knowing how he is, okay, how can I approach this? What's the best way to approach? And then considering with everything that he has going on, when you have a someone in management that does so many different things and have their hands in so many different things, for instance, like he does, is was it the right day? Was he in the middle of some meeting that just blew up and it just wasn't the right day? And I'm not saying it's always going to be a right time, but if you know there's something that's just blown up and it's just a really bad day for him, that's definitely not the time to really approach anybody about, raises and things like that, because that's actual conversation. That's not nothing you just go up to somebody and say, I need a raise. Okay, yeah, sure, here. It's not going to happen that way. So it's really understanding the situation, the time, and knowing how to approach that person. So even if they're the type of person, like Michelle said, if you have her levels, if they're the type of person where if there's a conversation that needs to be had and they say you have to make an appointment for us, do that. Yeah, I know it may be irritating, but do it. Follow the protocol and go through your steps the proper way and not try to overstep some and loop through because you're frustrated or you want it now or something personal has happened. Follow the protocol, and that's going to be your best bet of doing things.
Absolutely. I wanted to say sometimes the best time to ask for a raise is when they're happy and upbeat, or they have said, oh my God, I could not have done this much. I'm glad you brought that up, Bob. Why don't we talk
Correct.
about raise, right? Because they led straight into how you've helped them. Go ahead, I'm gonna take the tailwind. I'm gonna take this tailwind. Let me go ahead and ask for this. And so sometimes you let them lead and you just come in for the alley-oop and see how that goes. So I don't do sports, but that sounded pretty good, right? So if you know this person is generally happier at certain periods of time of the year, of the day, like some people like, don't bother me until after lunchtime. And other people like, don't bother me
In the morning, and
So you really have to really kind of check. And sometimes you don't know, right? So you're a direct manager, you may understand his, her, or their communication style, but not their manager above them and so forth. And so you may have to do some reconnaissance and talk to your administrative team to really understand how to better approach them, or look at other people from a distance, like, okay. So and then other times you just have to jump in and you learn. What I would say is really to the managers is how do you show up? Because as we're looking at between layoffs and people already quitting on their own, right? Without leaving an organization, without a layoff, how are you showing up in the workplace with your communication style that is driving people away? And I remember having a senior director, he would email you, but he had thousands of unopened emails. It was okay for him to email you, but if you email back your response, he'd just come to your desk like, so what's the answer? And you're like, I emailed it to you. He's like, yeah, I don't check email. But he would send emails. And so it just became his team that they went and they talked to me. I'd be like, all right, well, when you read the email, let me know what you have a question about. And I went back to my work because I spent my time already addressing the question. You wasted, to me, you were wasting my time. And people be like, did she really do that? Like I did. I said, you had to train somebody in how to respect you. He had the highest turnover rate. I wonder why. His communication style was very, very, even for engineers, it was very difficult to communicate with him outside of very technical conversations and communication. So it's really important also too that they understand how the leaders and managers understand how they show up in the workplace, because that can literally kill a deal. And it kills deals too. If you're on the sales side and the customer engagement side of an organization, that can absolutely kill a deal as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good, segue into, our next point is how to communicate with respect and sensitivity. Say if we, use this particular instance is, respectful. If you're going to send emails and I'm, doing the same thing, and if you're not going to do that, there's a way to communicate. But some leaders, they're so into themselves in the sense that, I'm the leader, you report to me, and you want to have a successful team, but you can't have both. You can't be a dictator and then want to have a team that's truly productive and successful. The two, they're just not going to match. Like you said, it's going to be a very high turnover rate. And I actually saw this on the news this morning, this new thing on TikTok, and it's called rage applying, to where people are on their lunch breaks and all these other places, to where it's some type of AI or something where they just apply to 20 and 50 some jobs, in a short amount of time, and just to see, hey, what's going to pop up. And that's why so many people are leaving companies, because people are tired of being treated, just a laggy, you're in here to work, just get in here and do the work done. We got to bring, the human piece back into some of these organizations. And a lot of leaders do not realize it's that simple. It doesn't cost no money. It doesn't really even cost you no time. It's just really checking yourself and making those changes. You're talking to another human, you're talking to another adult. So, if you go in with that and then you want to get upset when the employee comes back and they're defensive or snapping back at you, now you want to write them up, you want to send them home for the day, suspend them, terminate them, all these other things, but you have a negative energy. So it has to go both ways. You can't be that negative person and then say, okay, I want this huge successful team and, to produce. It's just not going to happen.
I don't understand. They don't see why. It is very interesting how companies who have a really big brand, who are well known, they don't often have to seek talent. They do, because they have a certain characteristics. They're looking for talent. Often feel as though they do not have to change. They do not have to modify anything. Everything revolves around them. And what happens is, something generally happens in their industry, in that organization, that drastically impacts their ability to not only retain their talent, but attract and recruit new talent. And they are shook. They're like, but we're the cool kid on the block. You used to be until XYZ came and XYZ happened. And as we see more and more companies do layoffs, It is interesting for some of the newer companies to do the layoffs the way they are. And what I mean is people just locked out of a system. And maybe with technology, it's different, where before you had to show up to a place, lock in. You only have a card to clock in, like push into something. You can go over to the lunchroom. We're going to have a meeting, right?
And that's why people get mad. It's like, I done burned my gas, got up, got dressed. And then you, wait, what? Or you have me to come in and do all this work during the day. And when I get ready to go home, you want to tell me not to come back.
Well, see, I would at least would have like, it's either tell me at the end of the day, you want to tell them at lunch and you provide them lunch, or do you want them to tell you at the beginning of the day, after you're on set in rush hour traffic? It's never a good time to do layoffs. I'm just
It's
saying.
not. It's not. Yeah.
But I will say there is a way to communicate layoffs. And it does take more time when you're trying to talk to people one-on-one, when you're trying to talk to them in small groups. But the point is, you're talking to them. It is not an email. Like just saying, hey, we sent an email to your personal email, but I'm locked out. So it can be drastic. And also assuming too, if you have a company devices outside of a laptop, where sometimes you just picked up your mobile, and from your mobile you literally just check your work email. So now you got to go to your personal laptop or your personal device and check email to see what's going on, or hopefully your boss has your personal cell phone number, things like that, to reach out to you. I just think when we think about communications overall at the leadership level, how is that filtering down, and how does that look? Because now everybody's sharing the lack of communication or humanity and how we communicate. The other part, I would say, people not trusting you, right? People like, hey, I asked 2 weeks ago how the company was doing. I looked at some of the financials. We weren't doing too well in a couple places, and was told, oh, don't worry about it, which obviously was not true. And so that part, that integrity part or lack thereof, can and will often come back to bite organizations. And so, like, well, we didn't want them to leave yet. So 2 weeks is different than what? Some people like, yeah, well, they would have taken customers, or they would have taken proprietary information. Generally, they've already been siphoning that stuff over time. It wasn't about to happen just because you gave final notice. They had already had its plan, and they had already hatched it, and it was underway. For most people, it was not new. Especially in a major layoff, it was something like maybe you were letting them go as part of retaliation. Then yeah, they may have set something up. But for most employees, it is definitely they haven't set anything up to backdoor the company. They already been doing it. So I'm just gonna put that out there. They've been doing it.
But I think that's also an opportunity when you're doing your performance reviews, that's another communication opportunity, you know. And I think that's a big trust space, because normally it is, you know, one-on-one, or you know, maybe another manager if needed, but normally it's one-on-one, and you have the opportunity to have those conversations, to share information. So I think that's also where the trust come in, and taking the time to share information about your needs and what those needs are, and be specific on those needs. But okay, I'm gonna put a little disclaimer there. Don't go in there with no foolishness on no needs, you know, because sometimes it's like sometimes people don't think about certain things. And you know, I'll even share an example with you. As a manager, with a couple of, like, you know, the warehouse guys, one of the guys decided he wanted to come talk to me. Cool, no problem. Come on in, whatever, we talking. And he came in and said, well, I think I deserve a raise. Okay, why do you think you deserve a raise? Because I came to work. I said, so is that all you got? You know, because you showed up to work, we hired you. And not only that, you know, that was an opportunity where, you know, every month if they perform, they got cash bonuses. So, you know, they had cash bonuses that they were getting. And he also said, well, I don't think this is enough. I think I also need a raise in my monthly bonus too. Okay, what are you bringing to the table? Even though you barely been here a year, barely a year. What are you bringing to the table? Well, I come to work every day. So again, don't go in with no foolishness. Make sure that you're going in with something that makes sense, showing your value. How have you made yourself an asset to that organization? You know, show your numbers. If you're a person that's responsible for, like, you know, data or growth or anything, go in with the data. Get your numbers together. Show, when I was here, we were here. Now, between this time period, we was able to grow, you know, 10% or 20%, whatever it is, and show that value. And when you're able to show that value of why you, the company, you are an asset to that company, you never know what may happen, because a lot of times managers, they just see you doing the work. They just see you pushing out, and they don't really realize that, oh, wait, you did do that. Oh, yeah, this did happen. You know, I didn't really realize. So don't always go in thinking that you're being overlooked. They just get in that habit. We all get in that habit of just seeing you doing, seeing you show up, seeing you doing different things, and not really realize and break down that, yeah, this did make a difference. So, you know, that's why I say de-armor yourself and go in with a different energy and just have those conversations.
Woo, that, I love that. I think our preparation for that manager person in leadership role, and really understanding them, but also ourselves and how we may show up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I say this with a caveat, is people are going to have their biases. They're going to call you whatever they're going to call you and see you how they see you. So keep that in mind too. But show up how you want to show up. And I remember back in the day. So remember, we're Gen Xers over here. So
a millennial.
Okay. Whatever she is, I ain't.
Okay.
I am not one of them. But we were taught to dress for the role you want to go to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What was that next role you wanted to go to? And to show up in that role was really important for you to advance your career. And so I say that in that, hey, I'm a manufacturing engineer, so I dress like this because I'm on the production floor. That's absolutely positively okay. What you may do differently though, is maybe you wear more collared shirts. Maybe you keep a suit jacket hanging up at your cube on a hanger on the back of your office desk. Maybe if you're working from home, certain parts of the day or certain parts of the week, you have a certain green screen or backdrop. Hopefully you can change yours, unlike me. And so that gives you the ability to show up a bit different than your other colleagues. It's showing the direction in which you want to go. Yeah. And test those out, because it communicates, not verbally, right? We're not talking about verbal communications, but it communicates differently how you want to be seen in the workplace and heard in the workplace as well. Mm-hmm. So just take that into account as well. I want to go back to when having meetings with your manager, especially around your career. And I don't know if we got into that yet, but being very intentional with those pre-scheduled meetings that you have, and maybe even setting up a 3 to 5 bullet agenda to better prepare and have clearer communication with your manager. That can sometimes show that, number one, how you show up prepared. Mm-hmm. And that's truly important and valuable to do. Like, I respect your time. I respect your thoughts and opinions. Here's an agenda. Let's meet this place and time. So take that into account too. Some people, like, even if you send the agenda, they don't check the email. So you may have to verbalize it, text it, or whatever, or some other way to communicate. It might be a printed out hard copy that's left in the chair, or a Teams or Slack message with the meeting agenda. But just keep in mind too, that you want to put forth your effort, because you can only do what you can do from your place and purpose. And then that manager is going to have to harness and do however they need to, but they need to hopefully show up for their people. Because this all goes back to you having a space, a safe space to communicate, but it may not truly be a safe space for you as it is from other people in your organization.
Yep, you are so right. And it's interesting that you mentioned that about the dress. I just did a podcast a couple of days ago with this guy, and the statement he uses is very respectful to overdress. And I was like, I like the way he put that. But that is so true of, not, you know, falling in and dress for the occasion.
I come out of construction, and I worked for one of our competitors, which is a large, very large international global engineering construction procure company, like my former employer was. Their field people, so the people on the construction site, did not wear jeans. They were conditioned and taught to wear khakis, not jeans. And it was really interesting just having conversations with my then coworkers who had worked for that company. Like, they're like, oh, y'all wear jeans? And they were just so startled. Like, the VPs over there wearing jeans? They were like, he was like, yeah, what's wrong? Oh, we could never do that. We could only wear khakis. And it couldn't be like carpenter khakis. It like had to be office khakis, even though they had on steel-toed boots, hard hat, high visibility vest on, safety glasses, ear protection. They were still told that their company uniform was khakis, and it was just to set them apart from other organizations and the craft on the job site. So sometimes your communication is absolutely in what you wear.
Yep, it does. And not only that, I think it is part of the energy in a conversation. When you walk in, presented, you feel a certain way because of how you're dressed, and your energy is going to come off. So it can completely shift, even though that you may drive up to the door, sit in your car, and say a quick prayer and be like, oh Lord, just hold my tongue, help me to do this. But because you are dressed a certain way, when you open that door and step out, that energy is going to be different, opposed to you being in some jeans and tennis shoes. That energy is going to, be a little different, because you're already to a point of, I don't know how this is going to go. But when you're dressed, I think that makes a huge difference in that energy. We just present, we walk differently, we present differently when we're dressed.
Yeah, I think so too. But I would say, as far as being a woman on a construction site, I'm glad my company did not have that separation. Sometimes being from a distance, being able to blend in so they can't figure out how to target you might not be what you want. So just think about, and remember, some places there's like, oh, such and such always walks in here wearing X, Y, and Z. But y'all notice, and you're talking about that person. Trust me, other people are noticing too in the management at that level. So just take that it's very respectful to overdress. Now, of course, if I would never wear a dress or a skirt to a job site,
Of
because that.
course, right.
So just keep in mind what as far as safety and where you work, what
The
may be,
environment.
yeah, exactly, limitations to what you would wear, but definitely do that as well. So.
So let's get into like respecting others' time as well. Sometimes when we have so much that we want to say, and we've programmed ourselves, we thought about it, I need to say this, I need to be sure I mention this, this is this, this. And sometimes we may even have the notes on our phones or whatever, to make sure you don't forget what you need to say. But be respectful of a person's time. If they're going to give you the time to come in and talk with them, be respectful of that. If you have points that you just, have to get across, keep the in-between conversation shorter. And at the end, if you have, a little bit more time, then, elaborate a little bit more if you want to. But just be respectful of a person's time, because now you already went in for armor, but everybody, woo-sawed, and we're having a good conversation. But because it's like you finally have their attention, it's like, oh, I'm not letting you go. I'm gonna say this, I'm gonna say this, I'm gonna say this, I'm not letting you go. Be respectful of the time. And it might be, they might actually sit back like, you know what? Let's go ahead and finish this now. I could do whatever later. Or they might actually have to get off somewhere and they say, you know what? Let's catch back up on Monday to do XYZ. So be real respectful of the time, because now you're crossing that fine line of getting disrespectful.
Absolutely. I want to share one comment before we move on from dress. I'm not one to dress up so much, but I'll continue to think about it as a way to show others respect. I've kind of rejected it as part of professionalism that is decided by dominant identity groups. I absolutely agree with this. And so, what I would say to this is dressing up or showing up differently, simply wearing a necklace, a scarf around your neck, it can show up in different, a brooch, it can show up in different ways. It could be the shoes, like the shoes make the man. You might have on some jeans, but your shoes are on. Like, what is that? But I also say culturally, we as Black people, Latinos, we bring in a lot of different fashion, right? Indigenous people, so many bold colors. And so we set the trends that they kind of push to professional. Like, y'all know, we y'all just made it in black. We had it in a green. And so really pushing those limits, and sometimes it's simply suspenders or colorful handkerchief in your nerd, instead of your pocket protector, it's a handkerchief in that pocket. So think about how that shows up, and it's not so much going into dominant culture as it is putting in your own culture and how you show up differently in the workplace.
And I really agree with that too, because I'm not the your prissy girl to where, I'm in my, high stilettos and all that dressy stuff. I'm not that girl. But, dressing, for the occasion. And now I am that person that have transitioned to wear tennis shoes with my suits. And I'm not saying wear tennis shoes just to get there and switch shoes. I actually wear tennis shoes for the entire occasion with my suit. One is comfort. And if I'm not worried about my feet or trying to run to a chair to sit down, I move better. My energy is different and it's better. And then now, especially with ladies, we have so many options now with the, throw on a blazer with some jeans and a pair of wedges or loafers or whatever, and you're still able to, kind of fall in certain places. But again, knowing the environment that you're going in, that's going to make a huge difference as well. So, there are some environments that I have gone in to where, everybody, ladies, stiletto, not all this good stuff, but I was dressed for the occasion, but my feet were still happy. So it's really, determining what you want to do and how you want to do that. So and I that's just a different energy that I have now. Because before it was like, depending on the shoe, it was like, okay, let me go and prance in here, see who I talk to, walk around a little bit. But you know what? Hey, let's go sit down over here and chit chat for a while, to get to release some of that pressure. And this is, with all of us now after COVID, so many of us have like heels, psh, we out. But for me, that's kind of how I've transitioned a little bit. And I have multiple blazers, I have solid colors, and I have patterns and things. So some networks, I wear my pattern type blazers. But if I'm going to more a professional type of event to where is them, straight B2B and some of that, I wear a solid color. So just really feeling out the place and at the same time being comfortable, having fun. And sometimes with those printed blazers, again, understanding my environment, it helps me to stand out because one, people are watching me, and then it helps me to go back when I'm saying, hey, I met you such and such. I can say, hey, I'm the one had on that, yellow blazer with the black writing all over it. Oh yeah, I do remember you. So it just really depends on where you're going and the environment.
I love it. Okay. So I want to get back to where we were previously before I jumped us in showing up for meetings with your manager. And specifically just talking about career advancement and your performance and how to get a promotion, maybe not even promotion, it could be a lateral move, right? What does that conversation look like? And going in there prepared with 3 to 5 questions. So I like how you broke down showing up and showing the person respect for their time and cutting down some of the chit chat. If you don't have a rapport with the person, do research on them to understand maybe where they went to college, they served in the military, their family structure, something that you can bring up to build a personal rapport with within the first few seconds to a minute, right? And then move into it. So you don't have to spend 20 minutes talking about, oh, you grew up in such and such. So do I. Where'd you go to high school? And you don't have to get their whole history. You just want to make that quick link to them on a human to human point, and then move on to that topic. Go ahead, Melissa.
No, I was agreeing with you. That is important. It's that connection. And that's with anybody. And so many of us just go in for what I want instead of trying to make some type of connection. And I'm not saying you should disregard yourself, but try to make some type of human connection first, before you go in for the kill.
I know we get pushed back on this, and humans connect to humans. And when we look at just the career path of white men to men of color to white women and women of color, we see a huge drastic decrease in women of color making it to the C-suite compared to white men. And too often, white men see each other or see them younger selves in other white in younger white men, and that's just an outwardly appearance. We don't have that opportunity to identify, racially, gender-wise, with those that are in those roles. And so, finding some way to connect you to somebody that can be your sponsor, be your mentor, really can help you for many of us. And I'm not saying you got to tell them. Spill about how you grew up and everything, but you can definitely make a connection with them. Oh, you're an engineer? What kind are you? That's the one I usually use. Or I used to do, oh, I'm not a sports person. Like, oh, where'd you go? Auburn. Like, oh, I'm a Clemson Tiger, not an Auburn Tiger. Y'all need to get your life together. And so it was just a very easy way for me to tie to people. And they will remember, like, men will remember the college sports or that I was an engineer too. And so it's really an easier way to get access to them.
You're absolutely right. It's building a relationship. It's as simple as that. Just try to build what connection do you have and how can you build on that?
So, I know we're wrapping up in time. So anything else you wanted to talk about, Melissa? Let's talk about a few. We talked about the importance of career development. Let's go into career development in the last 10, 15 minutes, and then we can give y'all a few tips on in that aspect of communications in your career development.
With career development, a lot of times we go in, saying, okay, well, if I go do this, I'm going to get a raise or I have to get a raise. If you go into it with the wrong mission or the vision of it, it's not going to work and it's going to go against you every time. It never fails. Go into it, want to build your career because whatever you're going to go learn, I don't care where you go, you can always take that with you. Nobody can take that from you. Even if it's a certificate the company paid for or whatever, that certificate has your name on it. And so that's yours, it goes with you. So when we're looking at career advancement, there are some myths. And we put together a handout that you can scan and download so you can have it as well. One of the career advancements, some people look at that is automatically a management role. Not necessarily. Look at it as a benefit that you could do your role, better, that you have more value to add. So when you go in for that raise, you can share those things. And when it's time to, move to another position, whether it's in another department or just, one or two steps up, you're able to do that. But don't, always think just because I do this, I'm going to be a manager.
Absolutely.
That you're going to have a bigger team or a bigger budget. So if you are in management, or if you work on a team with projects and these are one of the things that you work with, that doesn't always mean that you will get a bigger budget or a bigger team. Again, this is something that could benefit you and that can increase your value. So when you go into these organizations, for the ones that allow it, because I know there are some organizations that, don't even consider any type of career development. If you want to do anything, you go off on your own time and do it. They don't, want to help or contribute or anything like that. So whether you're doing it on your own time or through the company, just know, there are some limitations and that's not one of the things that, you will necessarily have. Management will help you get to the next step. That can be a yes or a no. It depends on the company. It depends on your relationship with that management and the type of organization you're with. But again, don't always go in with the expectation of a move or increase in pay. I can't tell my manager I want a promotion or a different position. Again, what type of relationship do you have with this person? Is this an organization that supports career development? If they don't support it, that absolutely is probably not going to happen. But if they do support it, don't go in with that negative energy. You never know what they may or may not, help you do. Just go, but still go in with that, learning whatever that is, finish it, and come back, still do your job and do what you need to do. But look at their, job boards, see what's out there, apply for those different positions, but don't come back, okay, I finished this. Can you go talk to such and such so I can get this job? Or can you go do this? I'm not saying it's not a bad thing to have management to help you if you have that type of manager, but again, don't have that expectation. And then if you want to advance to a different position, it goes back to the company. Should you stay there? Should you go somewhere else? What type of organization do you have? This is part of doing your research when you are applying for a job. And if you've been there, over a long period of time, 10 plus years or something, this just simply means that you do your research. One, what does the company have to offer? Does it fit with your lifestyle? If you have kids, a family, if you like to take vacations, if you're building your family, knowing, okay, well, I want to have two kids. How is that going to work around your lifestyle? What benefits do they have? How they support? So this is where you got to go do your research and understand what the company has to offer and if it fits. If it fits, great. If not, apply somewhere else. But we put together this small PDF just to share some myths about career, development advancement, because some people think that that's almost automatic, and it's not. It's really not. So just be sure that you know that and you understand that could or could not happen.
Absolutely. And you can utilize this QR code to download the PDF. So I'll give y'all a few minutes to focus on that. We did have a question come in that I'd like us to read and maybe wrap up
Okay.
on as we move forward. The question is, how to deal with a CEO that says the workplace is not a place for self-actualization. It's a place to carry out the mission. And I'm so confused if the CEO, and I'll read that again, how to deal with a CEO that says the workplace is not a place for self-actualization. It's a place to carry out the mission. If you're a number one, a mission-driven organization, people often take a job there because they align with that mission. And if they're not able to grow through the work in which they are doing there, why would they align then with the mission? I think it's a huge miss. And maybe number one, does the CEO know what the word or the phrase self-actualization means? That's my first, like, do they even know what that means? Number one. Number two, why would people work there then, other than a paycheck? Then you can get anybody, right? But when you're talking about mission-driven, people-focused organizations that you're serving, as well as your employees, especially your employees, because that's who's really helping you hit these marks. It's really important that you align with them. And I think it's really important that we stay focused on that and we really, really take into account. So self-actualization, let me go to the meaning. I looked it up. The realization of fulfillment of one's talent and potentialities, especially considered as a drive or need present in everyone. If you aren't looking to the fulfillment of one's talents and potentialities, like why bring in humans? Why not just look for robots, right, to do the job? So I would just, number one, ask them to define it. Number two, if you're a mission-driven organization, who works for, who are you trying to attract as employees to that organization? Yeah. And number three, how are you planning on retaining employees long-term, meaning more than a year, if you're not able to, they don't see, they're not able to get self-actualization. I'm just so confused. And no, who hired you as a CEO? Did you start this? I have so many questions.
This is one of them where you go with not a regular tab, but the big tablet. You know, the big yellow legal tab where you flip it over. Wait a minute, I'm not done. I got some more. that's almost one of them when people want to use certain words to like spell it. What does that mean? Use it in a sentence. You know, spell it. Tell me how is that spelled. But it's like the sentence don't even make sense. It's like, what was the thought process to say what you said? And this is where I think, you know, it goes back to organizations having an employee value proposition that is employee based. Because so many companies, they have these mission statements and these websites. Some invest thousands and thousands of dollars in the websites, and you have your mission statement and whatever community efforts, all this other great things that you're doing, but that does not apply internally. Your mission statement is letting the customer know what you will provide for them and your value, but your employees, that's differently. They're coming to you to, you know, provide a service is basically what it is. They're providing a service to your organization to do whatever that job description is. And when you start talking to an employee about them doing the mission and all of that, read that mission. One, are you following it? And two, is it directed more so to consumer or to the employee? So it's really understanding that and not, you know, being a leader that's just in the position. And this is where, you know, so many leaders have to be trained. But what organizations are doing, okay, let's go to leadership training, let's check the box. But you're putting all of these leaders into one general training. And you cannot put all of these leaders in one general training because there are specific needs, not only department-based, but for individuals. Again, these are humans. People have to be trained. Has there been an assessment? What's the results from that assessment? Who have what need? Where do you see these leaders lacking? Do you know any of these answers before you say, let's go to leadership training? What are they training on? Do you have the right trainer? Are they giving you the right message? Are they giving you the right handouts? Who knows? It's a general training. We check in the box. We pay for it. The guys got a certificate that did leadership training. But guess what? Everybody's coming back with the same shenanigans.
Yep. I'm going to take a different approach in a few ways assessing the organizations first. Does the organization have a board?
Yep.
What are the goals for that organization to hit within this fiscal year or the next fiscal year, depending where you are in the fiscal year? Do you have access to their turnover data or attrition rate for that organization and teams?
Yeah.
Even if, let's say, finance, operations, business development, whatever those, are you seeing higher attrition rates in certain areas and compared to others? who is that leader? Are they actually, do they actually believe in self-actualization? So they're able to keep their employees, their talent in the organization. Because they're, and so to me, just taking an approach to really dig in and look at, and it may be a really small, it may only be six people, but are the six, for those six roles, are they turning over every year or less in their organization? I think the telltale signs are there. The CEO doesn't want to be seen or be held responsible. And so hopefully there's a board that is really about that life, a donor that is about that life that say, hey, there's a problem in this organization. The one consistent thing is you. So let's get you the help you need in order to keep this organization going, bring in the right talent, and be able to retain that talent. So even if you can't get it directly from the organization, maybe you can do some digging on LinkedIn or some other places where this talent may have their information posted, and it's not going to be 100% of when they start and quit an organization, but it'll give you an idea. And I do this with an organization, and I look at their DEI people. There's been one consistent employee in DEI in the last 12 to 15 years. Everybody else has left in about a year or less. And you're sitting there, exactly. And so you're sitting there like, corporate don't see any issue with that. Not if this person DEI is the gatekeeper. They're retaining the status quo, which is why they're sitting there. And so it's really, really important to kind of take in data. And if you're not an employee, it's a little bit easier to make this approach. Or if you know the org has brought in a consultant, maybe like, hey, have you seen this? And you slide it over to them. List the names to check out on LinkedIn with their profiles that's handwritten, but not in your handwriting. Just really just sharing and looking at a data perspective. And then it's like, oh, well, that data's not right. Like, it isn't what's wrong with it, and really digging around in that aspect. So
But I
that's
think
how.
that also go why you have to have a third party to do that and come in with that data. Because internally, we tend to be biased because we're going to pull the direction that we really want to go or that we don't want to go. We're going to kind of go the other way. Oh, no, that's going to be a lot of extra work for me. I don't want to do that. But bringing in a third party, that's where you're going to get the true picture of whatever it is. Before you make the investment to say, okay, let's fix this. What are you fixing? Are you really fixing the right thing? So that's why I think, third parties come in and that's, really important when these changes need to be made.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Melissa, any final thoughts as we wrap up today's session? Because we've talked in so many different areas around communications, leadership, and communication strategies for building a strong team.
I think it goes still goes back to of the de-armor, de-armoring yourself, and this is on both sides, leadership and employee, that I think if everyone can do that and a company really look at the organization in a whole, what is happening? Why is this door constantly turning? Why can't we keep people long term? And the people that we do keep long term, they really not producing like they should be producing. So it's really looking at those things and taking the time to invest the time and money to do a true assessment on the organization. Just like Michelle said, get the numbers, get the data. Numbers are not gonna lie. And once that is done, and having a way to where employees have an opportunity to be open and honest with this third party, that's going to also bring you the information, let you know how your leaders are truly doing. And when, and not only that, when they talk to someone that's not in the company, they're more likely to be more open than they are with somebody that's in the company. So I said all that just to say, be open to the process, and the time that it's going to take. It's not anything that's going to happen overnight. And it's a process that all of us will have to go through. So whatever those phases are, or how many phases it may be, take the time to really go through it, to stop having a rotating door, and to reduce the number of times that you have to lay off within 5 years. The company shouldn't be laying off constantly within this time frame, because part of those things, yes, they're looking at profit, but are you really doing a deep dive all the way down to see what's causing that? It could be all of your hiring practices that's affecting that bottom line. So just take the time to really do a deep dive and understand what is really going on from the very top to the very bottom.
I love it. I love it. So everybody, that is lanes of communication for the month of January. I cannot believe we're at the end of January. We will
Back.
We will be back in February at a new time, same day. We'll still be on Tuesdays, but it'll be 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is 4 p.m. Pacific. And you do the math if you're in the anywhere between there or if you're across the pond somewhere. We do appreciate you joining us. Be sure to connect with us. And if you like that short list of that Melissa shared on how really to look at the career development myths that you may have or have heard of, that we've debunked in today's talk, definitely let us know. But I'll put the QR code in the comments as well. Everybody have a great week. Finishing up the month of January strong, and we will talk to you later. Bye, everybody.
All right. Bye.